To be more like the Master and to be holy in our lives, our life each and every day. Great challenge in those scriptures. Let's take our Bibles together if we could, and let's find the Gospel of Mark together. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll begin our reading in verse 45. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. I want us to notice a couple of thoughts here. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. The Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when he saw them walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. And notice what the Bible says, and this is our text here tonight. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And this is our thought, for their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. Let's pray together. Help us, Lord, as we look at your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be Christians of soft hearts, that we would allow your word to penetrate our hearts, to change our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would be not only hearers of your word, but I pray we would also be doers of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified with our response to your word tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting story that we have before us. Jesus, of course, is praying in the mountain. His disciples are in a ship. Jesus, being God, knew all things. And he knew that the storm was going to come. He knew the situation that his disciples would find themselves in within hours. And yet the Bible says he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. He forced them to get into that ship, and he's trying to teach them about rest. This is not my message tonight, but rest is trusting the Lord. Rest is resting in him. And so he was trying to teach them that true rest comes in allowing God to help them and be their strength. And so the Bible says that as they're rowing, they're toiling, trying to get to the other side, and the wind is contrary to them, and they're not making any progress. And so the Bible says that Jesus comes to them. And I think I mentioned, we looked at this text here not long ago, but I mentioned the fact that he would have passed by them, but the disciples acknowledged the Lord, and it's important for us to acknowledge the Lord. And it's not until we acknowledge him that he directs our way. And so they acknowledge the Lord, and the Bible says he went up into the ship, verse 51, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered, you know, the power of the Lord. And of course, the Bible says that they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And so the Bible gives us as a commentary, its own commentary, it gives us the heart, the very heart of these disciples, and it teaches us that they had a hard heart, and that's why they missed everything that God was doing. And I think that if we're not careful, it's easy for us to produce this hard heart. I don't think that you have to be a wicked person, a sinful, wicked person, to have a hard heart. I think it can naturally happen where we miss what God is doing. But to better understand this, I want to kind of just look at what the Bible has to say about a hard heart, build it out, and help us to better understand to see if that's where we are as believers. First of all, let's consider the meaning of a hard heart. So what is a hard heart, or what is a hardened heart? Well, the dictionary defines for us in a simplistic meaning. It says that a hardened heart is a cold, insensitive, unfeeling, and unyielding heart. Now, I think that if we were honest with ourselves, we would all admit to the fact that there have been times in our life, or there have been moments in our life, where we have had a hard heart to the things of the Lord. We haven't listened to what God has instructed us to do. And a hard heart does not recognize God's work in our life. For the disciples to miss what God was doing in their lives, from the miracle where he fed over 5,000 people, and then he's walking on water, and them to totally miss all of that, it just kind of teaches us that it's possible for us to be in that position as well. The disciples who walked with Jesus missed it. And so we're in danger of having a hard heart as well. And so we don't want to be preoccupied and miss what God is doing in our life. And so we want to study this passage of Scripture with an honest heart. And we want to know what this is and how we can avoid it, so that we can make sure that we're moving forward in our Christian life. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 8, if we could, in verse 16. And let's think about this then. So what is a hard heart as far as the Bible is concerned? How does Jesus describe for us a hard heart? Mark chapter 8 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Now, notice how the description here in verse 18, how the Bible defines for us a hard heart. It says, "Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And then the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand?" Now, what Jesus is trying to define for us is that a hard heart is one that hears but doesn't respond. A hard heart is one that does not feel the working of God in their life, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so they have eyes, but they don't see God at work. And they have ears, but they can't hear God when he speaks. And because of that, the outcome of a hard heart is that they're spiritually not prospering. They're not moving forward. They're not growing. They're not moving forward in their Christian life. They're not living with eyes of faith. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Job, if we could. The book of Job. And look what the Bible says in Job chapter 9. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 3. Job chapter 9. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. Job 9 in verse 3 and then verse number 4. Job chapter 9, verse number 3, verse number 4. The Bible says this, "If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of 1,000. He is wise in heart," verse 4, "and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered." So when we harden our heart against the Lord, the Bible says, and the rhetorical question is, name me one individual who has hardened their heart against God and has gone forward, has prospered. The answer is no one. We cannot prosper when we harden our heart to the Lord. A hard heart in a Christian, if a Christian has a hard heart, they're not going anywhere. They're staying put. They're staying where they are. And most of the time, sadly, it's not that they're staying put. They're most of the time going backward. And so they're not progressing in their Christian life. I read this about a hard heart. This was a pastor who was speaking of his experience in seminary. He says, when I first enrolled in seminary, I found an apartment room next to a railroad crossing. I wondered why the apartment rent was so cheap and found out the first night. A train came through in the middle of the night, blasting its horn. It didn't just wake me up, but it also almost gave me a heart attack. Every night the train came through, it blew the horn. At first I thought about changing apartments, but then I started getting used to the nightly awakenings. I would wake up for a few seconds and then go back to sleep. Eventually, I got where the train horn didn't even wake me up. I had hardened my heart to the train and couldn't hear it anymore. Now, that doesn't mean the train wasn't blasting its horn. It's just that they had tuned that noise out in their life. The same hardening process occurs when God speaks to our hearts and we don't respond. Eventually, we stop hearing his voice because our hearts have become hard. That doesn't mean that God stops speaking. It means that we have tuned him out in our life. Let's go to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter, if we could turn there. Hebrews chapter 4. And look what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible illustrates this wonderfully with the children of Israel. And the scriptures say here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, it says here again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after a long time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you will hear his voice, harden not his heart. You know, when an individual repeatedly turns away from the Bible, when they reject the Spirit's working in their life, there comes a time in their life that it's not that the Holy Spirit stops working in their life, and it's not that God's not speaking, but they just tune his voice out. They get used to it. They harden their heart. They're no longer responsive to what God is doing in their life. And I think a great illustration of this is in 2 Peter. Let's turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. I think a great example of this is in this passage of Scripture where here the Apostle Peter is speaking of growing and moving forward and adding to our faith. And the Bible says this in verse 7, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word there, knowledge, is not information, it's experience. As you experience the Lord, as you live by faith and trust in him. And the Bible says in verse 9, look at this, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I mean, that's a pretty backslidden believer right there. I mean, that's a believer who cannot see 5 feet in front of him in faith. And that's a believer who is forgotten that he's been made new and is a new creature in the Lord Jesus. Now, why does this happen? It happens because we harden our heart to the Lord. And when we do that, we have no spiritual growth. The Bible says that this individual is blind. He cannot hear the voice of God. He cannot see the work of God in his life. You know, I know for me personally, when I'm not walking with the Lord the way I ought, I know this when I start to give other things credit in my life and not see God in my life. You know, and you can experience this in your own life when you experience blessings and you forget about God. You don't see God in his work in your life. And this is where this individual is. I mean, they're not seeing the hand of God. And they're called to the work of God. They have forgotten that they are purged from their sins. They are blind. They cannot see afar off. And I want to be honest with you, for all of us here tonight, and don't think that, you know, pastors are exempt or teachers or ministers are exempt. This is for all of us. This is a dangerous place to get to in your life. When you harden your heart and you don't see God at work in your life, not that God isn't working, but you become hard-hearted to what God is doing in your life. The Bible says this in Proverbs 29. Let me read it to you in verse 1. The Bible says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now let me give you the reason why the Bible says that. It's because if your hope is God and your help is God, but you don't see God at work in your life, then you're in big trouble. I mean, a Christian who takes God away from the equation is a Christian that's heading to destruction. And so the Bible says here that if we harden our neck to God, if we harden our neck or our heart to the things of God, then we are on a pathway to a huge collision here. This is not going to be good. And this is why the Bible teaches us that it is without remedy, because God is the answer. But we fail to see God in our life. As the Bible reproves us and rebukes us over and over and over again in our life, if we harden our neck to the truth or our hearts to the word of God, then it's a dangerous place to be in. To silence God in your life is a dangerous place to be in. And so we don't obviously want to be in that position. We don't want to take God away from the equation of our life. Someone said this: how many times have you heard or read messages about the danger of neglecting daily prayer and Bible reading, but yet we still do it? How many times have we been warned of the awful consequences of gossip, but yet we still do it? How many warnings have you heard about harboring secret sins in your life, and yet we still do it? The old traditional saying is this: if you live in a graveyard too long, you stop crying when someone dies. And that's the result of a hard heart. And God doesn't want us to have a calloused, hard heart. He wants us to have a heart of flesh. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Can we turn there? 1 Timothy chapter 4. And let's look at what the Bible says here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We often talk about how wicked our world is. And we look at society and we say, oh, society is so bad and the world is so bad. And all of these things are true. But we think about the last days, and we notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 that a hard heart is one of the things that kind of expresses the last days or the last of the age. It says here, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And I don't know if you've ever experienced an injury where you've seared the nerves on your flesh, and you no longer feel anything anymore. And this is, the Bible says, this is the danger of the last days, is that people will follow after doctrines of devils, but they will sear their conscience, and no longer will they hear the voice of God or feel that conviction in their life. Now, there was a book that I read about a hard heart, and in this book, it talked about, in detail, about a hard heart, and, you know, about staying away from this type of heart. And it gave examples, and this is according to the author, He gave examples of what expresses a hard heart, and you might have a hard heart if you are doing these things. I'm going to read this section to you. It's not long, but this will kind of give you an idea of where we are. It says, "The heart is hardened when sin is repeated with no remorse, no sorrow, no guilt, no regrets. The heart is hardened when a gospel truth is perceived to be true, but not believed, or if believed, not acted upon. The heart is hardened when evil can be performed in the literal presence of Scripture or in front of those who stand in righteousness. The heart is hardened when the evil actions of others are justified. The heart is hardened when wrong is called right. The heart is hardened when truth is suppressed and the conscience is silenced. The heart is hardened when words are spoken known to be offensive, but the decision is made that they just don't care. The heart is hardened when actions are taken that will wound or offend another person, but that person says it doesn't matter. The heart is hardened when the reputation of someone is not guarded or protected. The heart is hardened when the Bible can be read and songs can be sung and prayers could be offered, but yet no change in one's life. The heart is hardened when life revolves around self-interest and personal interests. The heart is hardened when preparation is made for evil. The heart is hardened when sin is loved more than the Savior. The sight of the crucified Christ no longer matters. The heart is hardened when there is always money for personal interests, but no money for gospel ministry." Now, this was his opinion of a hardened heart, and of course, it expands far more than this. But this is what a hard heart is. As we no longer see God, we no longer hear God, and we've taken God out of the equation in our life. And that's by far a dangerous place to be. But where does this bring us? Let's think about the mess of a hardened heart. The mess of a hardened heart. Not only the meaning, but let's think about the mess. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Now, Romans chapter 2, of course, is talking about the unregenerate man. And is speaking here of the unsaved world and their rejection of the Savior. But let's look at what the Bible says here, and we'll bring some application in here for our life. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore art thou inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemneth thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things." Now, the whole premise of the book of Romans in the first several chapters is the Apostle Paul is in a courtroom, not physically in a courtroom, but he's trying to make the case here that all of humanity is guilty before God, both the righteous man or the so-called righteous man, religious man, the wicked man, the Gentile, the Jew. No matter their pedigree, no matter their standing, we are all sinners. And we all need a Savior. And that's what Paul is building out here to his audience. And so he says here that we are all guilty. He says in verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or desirest thou the riches of the goodness, or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Now, this passage of Scripture is very deep in theology, but it's simple in its presence. And that is this, is that we are responsible one day to God. And even if we harden our heart to the things of God, does not excuse us of the consequences that one day we will stand before God one day. Just because we don't acknowledge our responsibility does not mean that we're not responsible anymore. We are still responsible to God. And that is what this passage of Scripture is teaching us. It's teaching us that one day the unsaved who reject God, who has hardened their heart to the gospel, that one day that they will stand before the Creator God, and they will be punished. They will face judgment. That God's goodness is to lead them to repentance. God's grace and goodness is to lead them to God and not to their own sin or to their own way. The fact that God will forgive sin and stir men to seek forgiveness and to please God is a wonderful blessing. But the reality is that they had hardened their heart to this truth and they had turned away from the Lord. And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that they are just stacking upon themselves judgment in the day that they will stand before God. That all of these things will not be amiss, that God remembers these things, and that just because they harden their heart to the responsibilities that God has set before them does not excuse them from those responsibilities. The Bible says in verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." The man who hardens his heart and refuses to repent just stores up more wrath in the day that they will stand before God. Now, I don't know if you remember my sermon I preached on afterlife, and we talked about that one day we'll stand before God as Christians, as stewards, and the unsaved people will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And they will give an account according to their works, the Bible says, of the opportunities that they heard the gospel. And I believe that they'll stand an account of the light that they have received. Now, here's the key that we have to understand, is that if someone hardens their heart to that light, they're still responsible for it. And this is what Paul is building out for us. He's trying to help us to understand that the hardened heart, the unrepentant heart, will still face consequences for their action. Now, that is for the unsaved person, and we know the unsaved person will spend eternity in hell, separated from God for all eternity because of their hard heart. And what a terrible thing to harden your heart toward the gospel and to face the consequence of hell forever. But also, I think we have to understand that as Christians, we are also responsible for what God has given to us. Now, of course, we're not going to stand at the great white throne judgment as unsaved people, but we still are responsible to the opportunities that God presents to us. And we want to make sure that we are living our life in the power and the presence of the Lord and not hardening our heart toward him. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 11 says this, "But thou refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped the ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts have sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts." The Bible says they made their heart a stone. They would not listen to what God had for them. They hardened their heart to the things of the Lord. Let's go to the book of Psalms, if we could, in the 95th Psalm. And let's notice what the Bible says here, Psalm 95. And let's look at the commentary of the children of Israel in this hardened heart. Psalm 95 and verse number 7. Look what the Bible says here, Psalm 95 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways. unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now, the rest he's talking about is the promised land. And they had grieved the heart of God because they had hardened their heart. When God showed up, the provocation is when God showed up, they did not accept it. They did not see God. They did not hear God. And because of that, they did not enter into the rest that God gave to them. And when God shows up in our life, when God convicts our heart, when God guides us, when God wants to show himself strong in your life, how sad it is if we don't see him at work, if we don't hear him speak. And that is a hard heart. And the Bible says a couple of thoughts is that it saddens the heart of the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord was grieved. How hard it would be to break the Lord's heart because we have a hardened heart. And then we see the state of the people in verse 11. They did not enter the promised land. They did not enter into rest because they had hardened their heart. And many Bible teachers believe that Israel in the promised land is an example of the victorious Christian life, spiritual maturity in our life. And if this is the case, then we think about that peace and that rest of spiritual maturity, getting to the place of spiritual maturity, and it's not possible if we harden our heart. If we don't hear God, we don't see God, it can never happen. And so many Christians fall to the wayside. They fall short of their full potential, and they never reach Christian maturity, spiritual maturity. They stay a child in their Christian life for years and years and years and never get to the place of spiritual maturity, which is a tragic thing because they harden their heart to the things of the Lord. Okay, let's bring this message to a close and let's look at the message of a soft heart now. This is what we want to have. We want to have a soft heart. We want to have a heart that can hear God, a heart that can see God at work. And so let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, if we could. Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's notice what the Bible says in verse 25. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. It says this: "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." And look what the Bible says in verse 26. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." We want a heart of flesh today. We want a soft heart. We want to hear God speak. We want to see God at work in our life. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart. What does it involve? What does a soft heart involve? Well, I think it involves humility. I think it involves repentance. I think it involves forgiveness. I think it involves obedience. It involves a new perspective. It involves seeking after God. It involves acknowledging God in our life. For this sensitive heart, this sincere heart, as we follow the Lord with our life. Jeremiah said it wonderfully in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 3. The Bible says this: "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." You know, I think it's important for us as believers not to have a heart that is hard to the things of God, but a heart that's ready to grow the seeds of the Word of God in our life. And if we're not careful, we can get to the place like that and not even know it, where we have become insensitive to the things of God. And we kind of get the attitude, well, I've been a Christian for X amount of years, and we get kind of this attitude where we think, well, we've arrived, but we've not arrived. And we have a lot more growing to do. The Christian life is more than just knowing about God. It's knowing God. And it's experiencing Him in our life each and every day. And we want to do that by being sensitive to this, the work of the Holy Spirit as He leads and guides us in our life. Several years ago, when my kids were small, my wife asked me to help them to wash their hands before one of our meals. So I took them upstairs and I turned the hot water on and I let it sit for a little bit to make sure that it was nice and hot. And I put my hands under there and it seemed fine. And so I grabbed one of my boys, and I probably 2 years old, 3 years old, and I shoved it under the tap. And they pulled their hand away and screamed and said, "Hot." And I thought to myself, "Child, you're losing your mind. This water is not hot. It's warm at best." And then I realized in that moment that my hands were calloused and that I didn't feel the water the same way they felt the water. To them, with their hands being young, they could feel, their hands were more sensitive. They could feel the hot water. And I'll never forget this as long as I live, that we want our heart to be like that. We want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He works in our life, no matter our age, no matter how long we've been saved. We always want to have a heart of flesh to feel the work of God and to see the work of God in our life. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, when we have that desire for the Word of God and the law of God, then we will prosper and we'll be blessed and we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that's where we want to be in our life. So God, help us today to be careful. I'm not preaching this message because I think you all have hard hearts. I'm preaching this message for myself and for you to warn us how easy it can be to get to this place. If the disciples who were with Jesus on a ship, if they could harden their hearts, we can too. So we need to protect our hearts. Guard it with all diligence, the Bible says. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. We're grateful for your blessings and we're thankful for the